Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. He was the emperor whenever Peter, probably around the year 63 AD, whenever Peter wrote this letter. We know from history that he was a callous man. He was a brutal man, famously depicted as fiddling while Rome burned. Now, of course, he wasn't literally fiddling because violins or fiddles had not been invented for at least another 1,000 years. He may well have been playing some little musical instrument, or it may simply have been a metaphor for his incompetence and such words in the midst of a disaster for that famous city. His name, Nero, Emperor Nero. And it's helpful for us to bear in mind that as Peter wrote this letter, that's the kind of stuff that was going on. Now, of course, the famous fire that destroyed a huge amount of Rome didn't happen until another year after this letter was written, approximately around the year 64. But Nero was the emperor, a very cruel and callous and brutal man, and a man who used the Christians as scapegoats and did unspeakable things, which I'll not mention this morning in public, to the Christian community. And there was a sense that the momentum of persecution was building. And Peter obviously sensed that as he wrote this letter. He senses that the end is coming. And indeed, it would come for him personally. He was one of the Christian leaders who was persecuted. And tradition has it, and there's probably considerable truth in this, that he was crucified upside down and put to death at the hands of Nero. And so whenever we come to this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, where it says the end of all things is near, there's a couple of strands to that. Peter under God is sensing that there is something coming just over the horizon. And indeed it did come in the awful persecution. But he's also, I believe, speaking about something else, that the end of all things is near. He's speaking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Bill, you can maybe take charge of that if you don't mind, and pull up the picture. And so what I want to do this morning, just for a short little time, is just actually to draw out a number of things from this passage that in light of this awesome event, the second coming of Jesus Christ, what are the implications for you and for me? And I want to begin right with a point that is utterly and urgently important for me to mention. Because in light of the coming again of Jesus Christ, the first thing that I would want to say is this, that we need to be ready. In light of the coming again of Jesus Christ, be ready. Luke chapter 12 and verse 40 summarizes this nicely for us. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And yet again, in our community this past week, we have had quite a number of funerals. And this afternoon, again, we'll see one of those. And sometimes the call comes to people unexpectedly and suddenly. And it's the same for the coming again of the Lord Jesus. A day will come, and we do not know when that day will come or when that day will arrive, but a day will come. And before that day is ended, the Lord Jesus will have appeared. Suddenly, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. And you must be ready. Now, there are obviously many people across our land who do not believe this. Otherwise, the churches across our nation would not be half empty this morning. They would be full of people seeking after God, seeking the Lord, that they might also be ready for that great and awesome day. Let me ask you this morning a very direct and, yes, a very personal question. Are you ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you truly ready? If the Lord was to return this week, would you be ready? And it's probably the case that there are in this gathering of people, as there would be in any gathering of people, those who are not yet ready. How can I be ready? Well, the simplicity of the gospel. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the first thing that I just want to say to you. And it's obviously an extremely important thing. In light of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Be ready. The next thing I want to say, and it's very much picking up from what this passage in 1 Peter says, in light of the coming again of Jesus, be steady is the word that I'm using. Verse 7, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. I like the story of students at a Bible college. And typical students, typical Bible students, they were very keen. They were talking one day about the second coming of Jesus. And they were very keen to find out what position their teacher, their lecturer, took on that whole subject. And this is what he said to them. He told them that God had put him on the preparation committee and not the program committee. And they kind of looked at him slightly puzzled. And then he explained to them what he meant. He said that his role was not to be trying to organize, as it were, the program of how and when and exactly all the details. But his role and purpose was to get people prepared for the big event. And I thought that was good and wise counsel coming from that Christian leader. The prospect of the coming again of the Lord Jesus has brought about some weird and wonderful reactions down through church history. Some people get terribly excited about the prospect of the coming again of Jesus. Some people get paranoid. Some people have literally withdrawn from all responsibility. I can think in my own personal experience of someone that I knew who got so taken up with the prospect that Jesus was coming that he left his job and he really withdrew, waiting for the imminent return. And he's still waiting. I suspect at some point he had to go back to his work. It was an unwise reaction. In short, the prospect of the end and the coming again of Jesus has led to all kinds of craziness and laziness and wackiness. And it can all bring the gospel into disrepute. In contrast to that, Peter says, I want you to be clear-minded. I want you to be self-controlled so that you can pray. Peter says, be steady. Keep a cool head. Tell me, did any of you watch the fight last night between Frampton and Gonzalez? I wasn't planning to watch it at all, and I just happened to come upon it, as men do. any of you who are watching that fight will know that at the end of the first round, one of the things that young Frampton needed to do was to keep a pretty cool head, because he could have lost the whole thing. He needed to be steady and calm and level-headed. And if you're a supporter of him, well, thankfully, that's what he did. But on a much more serious level, brother and sister in Christ, you and I need to be steady. We need to keep a cool head. We need to be level-headed in the midst of all things in life and just to press on steady as it goes. You'll be thinking, according to what way your mind works, in light of those headings, be ready and be steady. Is the next title going to be Go? Ready, Steady, Go? Well, not quite. But in another sense, you could turn it around. The next thing that Peter says in this passage is to be loving. To be loving. Notice what he says. He says, above all, love one another deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins, and offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Folks, remember the context. Remember that these folks were suffering. Remember that they were living under an awful regime, the Emperor Nero, and remember that the end was near. And Peter says to them, I want you to love one another. He says, don't just have a cool head, but have a warm heart. A warm heart towards one another. And folks, as a pastor, as any pastor and minister would do every now and again, can I also appeal to you within this fellowship that we would have a warm heart towards one another, that we would have that deep love. And notice the phrase that Peter uses here. He says, above all, love one another deeply. And it's actually, there's a very interesting picture behind that word deeply. It's the picture of someone running towards the line. It's a picture of someone with all their heart and with all that they have, stretching for that line, reaching deep within them to achieve the thing that they're aiming for. We're to love one another deeply. Isn't it true, folks, that within the Church of Jesus Christ, that there are always people that you will find it more easy to love, and there are others whom you would nearly naturally gravitate away from? And yet within the church, we don't have that luxury. We are to love one another. Love is not just a feeling. It is an action. It's more of a verb, if you like, than a noun. And you can choose to love people, or you can choose to walk away from them or ignore them. And we are to love one another within this fellowship. And whatever fellowship that you belong to, we are to love one another. We're to take that decision that we will love each other with the love of Christ that's in us. And we will do it sincerely. And by the grace of God, be loving. And the last thing I would say is this, that in light of the end, be faithful. Be faithful. Notice what Peter says here, just after he has mentioned hospitality. And again, can I thank all of you who have offered hospitality whether it's to this team or to members of the CSSM team. Thank you so much for that. But look at what Peter says in verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. We're not only to have a cool head in light of the coming again of Jesus, not only to have a warm heart, but we're to have a faithful attitude. The scriptures teach that every regenerate person, every person who has been born of God, has been given at least one gift, and maybe more. And we are to use those gifts. Can I ask you this morning, if you're a professing believer, are you using the gifts that God has given you? Or are you in danger of being like the story that Jesus told of the man who went out and hid his talent? He buried his talent. He thought he was doing a good thing, but actually Jesus had some pretty strong words against him. Don't bury your talent, brother or sister in Christ. Use it for the glory of God. And at the end of the day, you will hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Be faithful. So let me say this, and this is maybe a slightly shorter message than I usually bring. The Lord Jesus will come back. Neither you nor I know when that will happen, but he will come back. And on that day, all of humanity will be separated between those who have loved the Lord and sought to follow him and have been ready. Are you ready this morning? Or are you wandering and not quite sure where you're at? Be ready, I plead with you. And there will be those who, even on that day, who will not be ready. And it will only be eternal horror for them. And what an awful thing to have to say. No pastor or no minister ought to ever take any comfort or delight in having to say such a thing, that at the end of the day there will be those who will have rejected the Lord Jesus, and God will essentially say to them, "Okay, your will be done." And I plead with you this morning, if you're here and you're not yet ready to meet the Lord, that by God's grace you seek the Lord and repent and believe the good news. But for those of you who are ready, keep pressing on steady as it goes. Be full of love towards not only the Lord, but towards one another. And when people in the fellowship maybe annoy you with something, well, just bring that to the Lord and continue to love them. And be faithful. Be faithful. Let me finish with this little story. Some of you may have heard this true story before. It's a story that goes back many, many years. And it's a story about a man called Abraham Davenport. And our American friends may know this little story from their history. Yes, it goes back a very, very long time to a famous incident that happened in the year 1780. Yes, I know it sounds like ancient history to the young people. Abraham Davenport was the speaker of what was called the Connecticut House of Representatives. And on a famous or infamous day in 1780, and you can Google this and find out all the details. The sky darkened in an extraordinary way to such an extent that the people became certain that Judgment Day was dawning and the Lord was about to return. And Abraham Davenport was at that moment sitting with a group of other leaders discussing various things. And as people sat in that room and they glanced out, and in the middle of the day, the whole thing became dark. Many of them began to get quite agitated, and they feared that the end was near, and there was a clamour for the whole thing to be adjourned and for the meeting to be brought to a close. But Abraham Davenport famously stood up in front of those people and said this, and I quote, because it is a famous statement. He said, "The day of judgment is either approaching or it is not. If it is not, there is no need for adjournment. If it is, I choose to be found doing my duty. Therefore, I wish that candles be brought." It's a lovely story of a Christian man, Abraham Davenport, who wanted right to the end to be found faithfully doing his duty. And so I say to you this morning, if you're a Christian, have that spirit. Faithfully press on day by day, at home, at work, at leisure, whatever you're doing, serving the Lord Jesus. Through lip and life, through word and witness, to declare to others that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and to commend him to others. In light of the coming again of Jesus, be ready and be steady and be full of love and faithfully go about your Christian business, and the Lord will bless that. Amen. We're going to have a short prayer, and during this prayer I would invite the team to come forward so that they can lead us for the concluding hymn. Let us pray. Father, in light of the coming again of the Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would find each of us not only ready through faith in Jesus Christ, but steady as it goes, full of love, and ready to faithfully and day by day follow the Lord. Gracious God, help us in all of this. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.